accept you as our Lord and Savior and be saved, have the hope of eternal life. And so, Lord, as we gather here this morning, we pray now that you will speak. Speak a word for us. Speak because we are listening. Speak, Lord God, because your children are listening. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your will. Put me behind the cross of Jesus Christ. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. What words Paul said. Wonderful those words were from Timothy. Paul would know. My sermon title today is The Lost and Found Business. The Lost and Found Business. And I've come to realize or come to be reminded that Jesus is in the lost and found business. Do you know that? And let me begin with this brief reflection. And it's titled, Is Your Church a Museum or a Mission? An inner city church located in an area of the downtown where there were few residents were forced to a decision. A large corporation was offering them a great deal of money for their site, on which the corporation wanted to put a parking lot. And how often we have heard that, huh? The money would enable the church to move to another part of the inner city where they would find many more people to serve. Even though this was exciting to some of the congregation, other members were resistant to the idea. They pointed out that the church was the guardian of a building whose history and architecture reached back into the early part of the 19th century. Denominational history had been made in that building, and some of the grand figures of the church had passed its portals. Eventually, the congregation decided to sell the site and make the move to a new building in a teeming inner city neighborhood. The pastor who was with this congregation through all this upheaval said, we had to decide whether we wanted to be a museum or a mission. They couldn't have it both ways. It meant either staying on their site, glorifying in their past history and serving a few people, or giving up their past and gearing themselves to become a significant ministry among the city's people. They opt for mission status over museum status. They opt to save the lost. Something of this, you know, of this is the same struggle we see indicated in the scriptures. Oftentimes we have to make decision to follow Christ. And not only to follow Christ personally, but to make that decision if we are going to be conduit or vessels through which Christ will make disciples. Our church, our ministries, what are we here for? Are we just here for buildings, or are we here to be part of the great mission? The Pharisees and the scribes came down on the side of museum religion. They wanted attention given to those who were stable, pious, and not a liability if invited to the country club. Theirs was a let's have our synagogue programs be for us dependable, like-minded types, as some present-day church growth advocates will say. Let's have our building just be for us. And then one day we look up and the for us is no longer for us. But Jesus disappointed them by insisting that the issue was one of mission, to reach out to those who needed great mercy, lessons in etiquette, social graces, and perhaps a bath. Paying attention to these lost persons would change the comfortable fellowship the scribes and the Pharisees enjoyed at the synagogue, to say nothing of putting a dent into its budget. You see, friends, Jesus was in the lost and found business. He was and is always. Every one of us has lost something at some point or another. There is even a website complete with mobile app, which is called lostandfound.com, that acts as a global lost and found box. Users can report items missing, and users can report items found. It is a good example for how technology can help people connect in a useful way. This is a gateway site for all the physical things that can be retrieved and returned to their rightful owners. According to their statistics, about twice as many objects have been reported lost as have been reported found in the U.S. So the site users are losing things at twice the rate they are finding them. Now, even in this church, we will tell you, we have found car keys that has never been picked up. We can't figure that out. That still remains in the office. We have found clothing, especially for the young people, never been retrieved. But it's a terrible thing to be lost and not found, isn't it? It's not a good thing to know you're lost and nobody's coming to look for you. But here's the good news. We have got a Savior who is always coming to look for us. C.S. Lewis would call him the Hound of Heaven. Jesus is the Hound of Heaven. He comes after us, wherever we are. He will never lose one of us once we have been found. He just keeps coming and coming and coming. Friends, haven't we all had the experience of losing things that we know deep down we will never recover? Depending on the situation, we can feel disappointed, heartbroken, hopeless, or simply discouraged by our own inability to keep up with things. Isn't it wonderful relief? Isn't it a wonderful relief to know that we will never fall into the loss forever category? Isn't it wonderful? We'll never be in the loss forever category. Isn't it assuring to know that God will never give up on us? You know, let us just say thank you to God. Even when we mess up and leave the flock, God is coming after us. I always pray, you know, there's a scripture that says he will perfect everything that concerns us. And that you could pray for your loved ones. And I'm praying for some folks that I know are my loved ones who haven't shown up in church in a long time. May not be serving the Lord, but I know the Lord promises that he will keep hounding them till he brings them back. And that's the good news, you see. This is the framework for all that follows in chapter 15. The story of a shepherd and his sheep, of a widow and her coin, of a man and his two sons. It is important to remember the situation which prompted Jesus to tell these stories and to ask, whom do I identify with in this situation? So in chapter 15 of Luke, we see three lost and found stories. Three of them, right? We see the lost of the sheep, and then the coin, and then we see the lost of the son. But today we are focusing on two. That's what we do when we read a novel or a movie. We look for the plot. Where do we fit in? Where do we fit in the story? When you read a good novel, you say to yourself, where do I fit in? Am I the heroine or the hero? Am I the victim? Where do we fit in? Am I the one who is lost? Or am I the one who's already found? We all have to identify with where we are in this text. We tend to identify with someone in that text when we are reading a good book, and the same thing is for this gospel. So the question is, so which group or character do you or me identify in today's gospel reading? In the gospel reading for today, we have Jesus responding to the criticism of the religious folks about him hanging out with folks and with poor people. The Pharisees liked their synagogue and their arrangement the way it was. They didn't want it changed. You are part of the synagogue. Certainly, if you were circumcised on the eighth day, you belong. We were just reading Galatians this morning to remind that Galatian text was about bringing in the Gentiles and how that conflict began. You know, there are three stories that he tells us, but we're going to be looking at one. In all three, the emphasis is on the joy at finding the lost. There are parties that happens in heaven when Jesus finds the lost. Isn't that amazing? When one who is lost is found, Scripture tells us that there's a party in heaven. You know, when we were found, there was a party in heaven. One lost. One human being that is lost. No one is rejected once they are found. So here's what's going on here in this text. The so-called righteous people of the day, they placed little or no value on the lives of sinners, believing their behavior had rendered them undeserving of any effort toward reconciliation. They believed those on the outside had no hope of being reconciled. How did you get in? If you were not born in, how did you get in? But God would send Jesus Christ, wouldn't he? How would you get into this place, into God's grace, into Jesus' ministry of reconciliation? So Jesus told them the three parables to explain God's view that sinners were actually of more urgent importance to him than the righteous. You know why that righteous is not all that important? Because we're already righteous. If we've already accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we are following Jesus, we're already in, aren't we? And shouldn't we? And if you don't know, then it's going to be up to you to find out, because the gates of heaven are open. Remember, there's no lock on the door. So if you don't sure that you're in, then it's really up to you. Because from my Bible, it says, all who seek Christ, he will welcome them. Right? As Romans 10:9 tells us, if we accept Jesus Christ with our heart, believing that God raised him from the dead, then we shall be saved. So it's simple. So in today's gospel, we see that on one occasion, Jesus told them that he had come to seek and save the lost. Jesus says his ministry was to seek and save the lost. It wasn't to seek and save the found. Because if you're found, if you lost your coin and you found it, why would you still be looking? Right? Why would you still be? And so he's going to tell them this parable. He says, I've not come to call the righteous, he said, but sinners to repentance. And so now he said it. He tells them, if you had 100 sheep and one got lost, you'd leave the 99 and search for the lost one, wouldn't you? Amen. Wouldn't we? He asked that question. Wouldn't you search and search? And wouldn't you be glad when you found it? And then he says, and suppose you have 10 coins and you lost one. Wouldn't you focus all your efforts on finding it? And when you have found it, celebrate. And then he asks the question, he says, if we feel that way about material things, if we feel that way when we find something that was lost, about material things, how much more is God going to feel about his creation, you and me, when he finds us? Well, somebody in here, if you feel like you're lost and you haven't been found, trust me, the hound of heaven is coming after you. You can't stop him. You can't stop him. You could try to reject him, but you're just wasting your time, because ultimately he's going to what? Find you, because we will have to stand before him on the day of judgment, won't we? If they felt that material possession was so important, then why not another soul? To our Creator, each and every life is of infinite value. Every life in here. I told the Bible study this morning in reading Galatians, faith in Jesus Christ, you know, believing in Jesus Christ is by faith alone. By faith alone. So therefore, Queen Elizabeth doesn't get to heaven any quicker than I do, or you. The President of the United States, the greatest doctor, the greatest surgeon, I'm not going there, I'm focusing, pretending I didn't, is not going to get to heaven any quicker than we are, because we're at another level. No, it doesn't work that way. On earth, we may have status. On earth, we may have wealth. But let me tell you before God, this is what the scripture is telling us, because those who are lost, sometimes we look at it as those people. But we're all lost once in sin. And when we accept Jesus Christ by faith, we have the same status, the same right and status as the richest person in America. As the guy from Amazon, who owns Amazon. It's better that I go to him than the president, isn't it? We have the same status and the same right. And even the president, no matter what people believe in their political ideologies, he is also saved if he accepts Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Heaven is also for him. Whether we like it or not, if we repent of our sins and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are all welcome in. Do you understand, friends? I'm telling you now, and some people that we think looking holy and righteous and walking around may not be going in. It is a heart that change. Now it's going to be up to him and you and me and all of us to have our hearts change, isn't it? It's a thing of the heart. So Jesus is searching, and he wants them to know. He wants them to know that God does not desire that anyone should perish, and that there is more rejoicing in heaven over redeeming one lost soul than over 99 who never got lost. And that's why every time a sinner repents and rejoices, the Lord and the angels in heaven sing and rejoice, friends. Isn't that amazing? Every time somebody, your kid is on crack cocaine or opioid, which is ravishing Long Island, and that they say yes to Jesus if they didn't know him. Oh, what a glorious God this is. What a glorious God it is. Doesn't give you a criteria. There's not a list. You just have to believe by faith in Jesus Christ. And then you're justified by that faith. And that's the beauty of it. It is for you and for me. And what is our work then as the church? Our work is then to have the doors of the church open to all who will may come. We may not like everything they do. We may not agree with everything they do. But our task is to welcome them and to say, Jesus, love you, because Jesus will do the change in us. He is the change maker. He's the one who works on our heart. You see, in Galatians it said today, it's not the text for today, but there's no longer circumcision of the flesh. It is now a circumcision of a heart, of the heart. A heart that accepts Christ and is changed. And if your heart is hardened towards Christ, you can call on the name of Jesus and he will change your heart. Because let me tell you, friends, you could hold out as long as you want. We're never going to win this battle. And if you don't care, then you don't care. But you'll never win. We're going to die and leave this place and not win. To relent and to open up your heart to Jesus Christ is is the way. And can you imagine the image Jesus gives you? He's trying to say to you, there are a million people in the world. There's a billion people in the world. There's 10 billion people in the world. Whatever the number is, no matter how great the world is, how large or huge, for one sinner that is saved, there's rejoicing in heaven. One sinner. He says, welcome. It's good news for us. The key points here regarding sinners doesn't penalize the righteous. I want you to get that, churchgoers. Rewarding a sinner does not penalize the righteous. For those of us who have been in church all our life and serving church and we think we're walking the way with the Lord. And you know, friends, I want to say this to you. You know, being in church for a long time doesn't mean that we're saved, you know. Because it's a heart that says yes to Jesus. It's a heart that says yes, Lord. Nobody can stop us from being saved. Heaven is a free gift. Given freely by the blood, the death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and by his shed blood. Free. So when we see someone who has been out there and doing things, if somebody walks in here and they don't look all cleaned up and look good, but they are coming to church, we should begin to rejoice. Rejoice because they have come to seek Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The next point is the Lord doesn't subscribe to scarcity, to the scarcity mentality, that there's only so much to go around and giving to one means taking away from others. We don't have to be jealous. We don't have to keep the doors closed. We don't have to don't want folks to come, because the Lord is not a Lord of scarcity. He's a Lord of abundance. So there's blessing for me. There's blessing for you. There's blessing for Angel. There is blessings for all of us with the Lord. Does blessing dictate just to material possessions? No. Not at all. Because there's a lot of unhappy people with a lot of material possessions. There's a lot of unhappy people with sickness. But God's blessings I'm talking about today is the gift of eternal life. The gift of eternal life with him. And if we believe in eternal life, if we believe in that the only way we could get to heaven is through Jesus Christ, as Christian believers, it is the only way. So Jesus seeks the lost. He seeks because he wants to find every person. And my next point is, for everyone who asks will receive, and who seek will find, and all who knock the door, it will be opened. Everyone who seek, every person who seek Christ, the doors will be open. Jesus says, I am at the door knocking to come in. Everyone, male, female, black, white, yellow, green, doesn't matter. Rich, poor, president, not president, queen, not queen, everyone who knocks and seeks, the door will be open. Because Christ is seeking the lost. And he does not stop. He continues and continues. That's the hope for many of us. Because many of us, all of us were in sin. And many of us have sinned many times since we have been saved. Sinned against God. And if he wasn't a loving and gracious God, we wouldn't be included, would we? We wouldn't be going to heaven, would we? But it's because of his grace, that song we sang earlier, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. I know people says, I don't like that song, I'm tired to hear it. But think of the words of that song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. If you don't think you were a wretch, then you don't have to sing that line. If you think you're perfect in everything you do, then God bless you. If there's anybody here perfect, God bless you. But for those of us like me who are imperfect, and Lord knows I am imperfect, all kinds of stuff, God knows everything about us, has saved a wretch like me. Let's get a new word, because it's not politically correct to say we're wretches, although we're killing each other day by day in America now. But nobody is a wretch, everybody is wonderful. Save a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I mean, come on now. And that was a man who was a murderer and a killer. Newton. Huh? And God would touch him on a ship and turn him around. And he would write that song. There's hope for us, friends. And the hound of heaven was hounding him through the slave ships back and forth from Europe to Africa, bringing slaves into terrible condition, beating and killing them. Yet God would save him. As a person of color, I would have said God should not have saved that man who was beating and killing slaves. But it wasn't up to me. It was up to his relationship with Jesus Christ. That one day he would relent and say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm praying for the salvation of people from both political parties. I'm praying for them to be saved, all of them. Holy God, I'm on their knees for this country every day. I'll be praying forever for some people." But it's between God and them, isn't it? And Apostle Paul would know that, wouldn't he? What did he say in that wonderful scripture? I was just going to find it because I forgot to make a note of it. But that wonderful 2 Timothy. Just give me a moment. Let me find it, please. I thought about it this morning as I was reading it, and it brought Paul knew. Paul had been a murderer. You know that he killed Christians. He killed people. This is in 2 Timothy. Am I right? 2:12. Okay, yes. Gratitude and mercy. 2 Timothy, wasn't it? First. 2 Timothy. Okay, great. Oh, yes. 2. Yes, and it says, and Paul, a good soldier of Christ, and I'll read the words because it speaks for itself. He says, "You then, my child, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me through many witnesses, entrust to faithful people who will be able to teach others as well. Share in the suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving in the army gets entangled in everyday affairs. The soldiers aim to please the enlisting officer. And in the case of an athlete, no one is crowned without competing according to the rules." And so Paul, I think I'm reading, it's from 11, is it? Right? And so Paul is talking about his run with Christ, isn't it? He's talking about his run with Christ, that he himself was not worthy of Christ's grace. He was not worthy. He says, "Remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead, a descendant of David, that all would be saved." Paul knew his faults. Paul knew what he did, yet Jesus Christ would raise him up to serve him. It's the same Jesus that we serve, friends. It's the same Savior who is looking for all of us who are not saved. That is our hope this morning, isn't it? The amazing grace of Jesus, unmerited favor. We can't even reject it because it's freely given. You can't even reject it because he's not asking your permission to give you grace, is he? God's grace. He will search and look at the image of a woman searching for one coin. Jesus is searching for somebody we love this morning. Somebody we know that is out of relationship with Jesus. He's searching. He's searching. He doesn't keep lost things. He brings them into the fold. He's searching for a husband. Sometimes he's searching for a wife. He's searching for a son or a daughter, a friend, a neighbor. He's searching for someone we call an enemy. Searching to find them because the gates of heaven are open and he wants all who will to come. Jesus is in the business of lost and found. He's going to find you. And I rejoice in that. You know why I rejoice in it? Because every time I think I may step out of bounds, I always think in my mind, my God, your grace is there to pull me back in. Do I have to pay the consequences for my sin? Yes. Do we pay the consequences of keep doing the same thing over and over again? Yes, we do, because we have free will and we have choice. Amen. We have free will. We have the free will to choose. We don't want to choose to follow God. Don't follow him. You don't believe in God, then don't. But if when you change your mind and you do, He opens up his arms wide, and look at that image of the shepherd. And he picks you up and he puts you on his shoulder. And heaven begins to rejoice. All the angels are jumping around and they're happy that Marjorie's saved. Ah, she's saved. Mary's saved. John is saved. Ah, maybe we're somebody's praying for John this morning. I'm praying for a few people, and when it happens, I could just hear in heaven, she's saved. He's saved. Oh, praise the Lord for God's amazing grace this morning. And so I encourage you this morning, friends, do not stop praying for your unsaved loved ones. Do not stop praying for people who have let their hearts so harden that they turn away from the word of God. Do not stop praying for them. Pray for them, because sometimes when they least expect it, when they least think it's going to happen, the Lord steps out of eternity and something happens and pull them in. And they're saved. And you've been praying for them for 50 years. Oh, glory to God. Thanks be to God for his faithfulness. Amen and amen.